God's word for you, Philippians 4:1. So then, my brothers and sisters, my loved ones, and my longed for ones, O my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my dear friends. The Philippians were a great personal joy to Paul. They received their faith through his preaching and use of the sacraments with great eagerness and enthusiasm. This showed itself in the many ways that they helped him in his ministry. We hear about this here in Philippians in chapter 1:5, 1:19, 4:10, 4:15, and 16. He calls them my dear friends, and he calls them adelphoi, which can mean both brothers and sisters, although not always sisters in certain contexts of the New Testament. Here, however, where we already know about several women in Philippi, including the jailer's wife, and especially Lydia and the other women who worshipped with her, we certainly must say sisters with great confidence. And was the slave girl from whom Paul had driven an evil spirit to be counted among them too? Well, either way, there were many faithful women in the Philippian church. In the Greek language, the vocative is the case and form in which people are addressed. We use it in English when we say in a letter, "Hi, Bob," or "Dear Mom," or "Dear Sir," or in the great Lenten hymn, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded." It is unusual to find more than one, or at most two in a sentence. Consider, "Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God," Psalm 3, verse 7, where there are two. In this verse, there are six. All of these terms are vocatives. First, brothers and sisters, which is only one, just the word adelphoi. Second, loved ones. Third, longed for ones. Fourth, O my joy. Fifth, my crown. And finally, sixth, my dear friends. The vocative is used to call attention to the person who is being addressed. Now, it can be used for respect, as in Judges 3:18 or Esther 7:3, or to name a person who is being called out for praise, as in Song of Solomon 8:12, or being singled out for condemnation. "You, O priests, show contempt for my name," Malachi 1:6. Or it can be a way of reminding the one who is spoken to of a close relationship, like when John says, "My dear children," 1 John 2:1. Here in Philippians 4, it is the last idea, the close relationship, that carries the entire verse. Paul cannot come up with enough endearments to label all of the loving feelings in his heart. They are dear to him. He loves them. He longs for them. They are his special joy and his crown. Joy is, of course, the recurring theme of the letter, and now Paul uses it as a name for the Philippians as a whole church. They are his joy, his great delight. I've talked about this before, but I was asked just today about the church I helped to get started as a missionary in the Pacific Northwest. It was the Lutheran Church in Covington, Washington, that today is called Light of Life, and I'm sure that very few there, if any, remember me from the 1990s, before there was even a church there. Just a young couple with two very small children, a clipboard, and the message of the gospel. But when I hear news about them, as I do from time to time, I am filled with joy that they know and love their Savior. When Paul calls the Philippians his crown, he uses the special Greek word stephanos, which is not like a metal ring for the head or a diadem with a gemstone that a ruler would wear. No, it's the laurel wreath, just leaves, given to the winner of a race, one of Paul's many athletic references in his writing. In the New Testament, this kind of crown often means the crown of eternal life. the eternal blessedness and life given to believers by God on Judgment Day. I will give you the crown of life, says Jesus in Revelation 2:10. And blessed is the man who perseveres under the hard trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. It's James 1:12. It is also called a crown of rejoicing for those who inherit an everlasting name. But here, crown is Paul's way of thinking of the Philippians because they are his ornament. They give him a special honor on account of the strong faith and the glory that they give to God. For Paul, I kind of think of it this way. The many congregations he has begun are like a line of candles on a banquet table. And as he lights them, he sees that they burn in different ways, some brighter, some dimmer, some burn smoothly, and some splutter. But the candle of the Philippians burns brightest of all. Therefore, he says, stand firm in the Lord. This is a phrase he uses other places, 2 Corinthians 1, 1 Thessalonians 3, but here he is confident that the Philippians will do this because they understand his words completely. When he says, in the Lord, he is careful to use the preposition in, which in Greek is pronounced en, which quite definitely draws a circle around the word it modifies. Here it's the Lord. And points to the location within that circle. So here the circle, as we said, is the Lord. When we are in the Lord, we have, through faith, all of the merits and benefits of Christ. They are ours. But if someone were to try to step out of that circle, as if to say, as the Judaizers did, I will do part of this on my own, then they have left Christ behind. Or if they give up on Jesus in despair or unbelief, they've done the same thing. They have done what in math is known as the zero property of multiplication. Multiplying anything at all by zero equals zero, nothing at all. Attempting to even add to Jesus, not even to multiply, with anything else that is not Jesus, is to end up with nothing at all. None of the merits of Christ. None of the benefits of Christ. Now, even if some scholar were to know all about all of those benefits, and had even taught them, as Judas did, in Mark 6, in John 4, in Acts 1, if he were still to step out of the circle of faith in Christ, such as in either despair or to the one side, or self-righteousness on the other, he would end up with nothing at all. He would have the same judgment as Gomorrah. But we keep ourselves in Christ's circle. What a wonderful verse this is. Six vocatives and the circle of faith in Christ. What a marvel to meditate upon. God bless you. Oh, dear reader, dear friend, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, companions in eternal life. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith, and this is God's Word for you. Thank you for letting me do this.